The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You are listening to the Motherhood Unstressed podcast, and I'm your host, Liz Carlisle. Welcome back. Welcome to a fresh week and happy Memorial Day weekend. I hope you had a fabulous weekend and are continuing to do so. And if this is the first time that you're tuning in, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here, that you found me, that you found the show, that you found this amazing community of people all over the world who are really dedicated to up-leveling their lives. And it's really through the lessons shared by our amazing guests over the past few years that we're able to do that. And this week is no exception. I'm speaking with the amazing Jackie Siegel. Yes, the real Queen of Versailles herself. And we're here talking about the work that Jackie has been doing to fight the opioid epidemic in America. And this was all spurred when she lost her own daughter, Victoria, in 2015 through a drug overdose. And since then, she has been instrumental in getting legislation passed. She has written two books that deal with this issue. And she's really just a powerful voice for the youth and just for educating parents on what to look for. So I'm truly in awe of the work that she's doing, especially, you know, because it came from such a dark thing, a dark event, and she continues that fight to this day. And so that's what we're going to talk about. So I hope you enjoy this episode. If you do, please share it out. Please, of course, leave us a review if you haven't already. That does so much for the show. And I really do read everyone and appreciate every single one. And without further ado, please enjoy my episode with Jackie Siegel. Hey guys, before we jump into this episode, I want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Beekeepers Naturals. And if you use the code UNSTRESSED, you can save 15% on all of their bee products. And why would you be interested in bee products? Well, don't you know, it's one of the most natural ways that you can help your immune system. And from the bee propolis, which is my favorite, I take it every single day, to the hemp honey sticks, you know I love that, to the honey that you can put on toast. There's so many different products, and they all work with your body to fight things like brain fog or allergies or, you know, even a sore throat. It's incredibly powerful and natural. And so, you know, if you're someone who cares about your health, who cares about a holistic approach to your health, then you definitely want to go to beekeepersnaturals.com and use the code UNSTRESS so you can save some money and start stocking your medicine cabinet with good forms of medicine as opposed to the kind that leave you with a bunch of nasty side effects and are full of all kinds of nasty chemicals. So check them out.
Well, hello, Jackie. Welcome to the show. I am so glad that you're here. The Queen of Versailles is in the house, everyone. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I mean, really, this is a special treat, especially we've been in quarantine now for like 5 weeks or 6 weeks. So I feel like now I'm getting back out in the world through the internet or, you know, through you.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. Every time I have a conversation, I'm like, oh, I needed that. So how have you been coping with the quarantine and everything?
Well, you know, it's got its ups and downs. You know, the downs is like I'm basically more busy because now I'm the dog groomer. I'm taking care of all the animals. I'm the chef. I mean, I'm wearing a lot of hats. I'm doing laundry. So, I mean, I have less time for myself and stuff. But the good thing is we're spending the most quality time with our children and as a family that we never had before. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten them all in, but like we did a painting all together, like where each kid did like one of our pets on the painting.
Oh, wow.
And it was really super cool. So, so that's good.
Yeah. So. And I feel like that is happening with so many families all across the United States, all across the world, really, that reconnection, you know, we're all cooking together, we're crafting together, we're pulling our hair out together. It's kind of a beautiful thing.
Like I grew up with two working parents, so I hardly ever spent, like, I never spent the days with my parents or anything. And most of the kids have two working parents. Now the parents, they're forced to stay at home. So they're getting this time with their parents that they'll always have memories for the rest of their lives.
And the pets too. Think about all the people who adopted puppies.
Oh, I know.
But speaking of pets and children and togetherness, I want to ask you about your new children's book, Oliver Uncollared. Tell us about the book, who it's for, and how it came to be.
Okay, well, I've got two twins, and when they were 8 years old, their oldest sister, Victoria, died of a drug overdose, and Victoria was 18 years old. So they didn't know how to cope with death. They didn't understand drugs or any of that. And so during their kind of like coping with the whole situation, I encouraged them to write a story. And so they wrote a story about our dog, Oliver, which is, it's kind of just to take their mind off of it, off of, you know, losing their sister or not, you know, of their sadness. And the it's a lovely story about Oliver who gets left at home, kind of like Home Alone 2. and so we're the family in the book, and we take off for the Bahamas. We were supposed to bring Oliver with us, and we didn't. And it goes through his adventures with the bunny rabbit and stuff in the book and all the mischief he gets into when he's at home alone. And at the end of the book, there's two final choices of chapters. You can read the one chapter that's a happy ending and another chapter that's a sad ending. So depending on how your mood is and you want an uplifting story or you want, you know, like kind of the dealing with the death side. Mm-hmm. And this is a book that really, it's really like for tweens, like, you know, maybe from kids like 8 to 14 to enjoy a book about an animal and his adventures. And in there, we also have at the back of the book, I've got a foreword in there, and which would be great for the parents to read of why we wrote the book. And in the back, we do give a little bit of education about the drugs and introducing the Victoria's Voice victory clubs at the end of the book, which we're going to have, like, I'll have to come on your show again, because I think about September, we're going to launch our victory program, the victory clubs, which is an incentive program for middle school and high school kids to not do drugs. Mm-hmm. We give them rewards, like amazing rewards, if they just take an oath to not do drugs.
I love that. I love that. So interactive too, because, you know, so many books out there who talk about this, they just kind of put it out there and then you don't really have any interaction from your audience, from the people reading it. And I've yet to see a book that touches on this harsh subject and actually brings in death into it. Like, most books are just, oh, this is nice, and, you know, you're going to get through this and it's going to be fine. But to touch on the reality of the opioid epidemic in our society, I think is really powerful. And it's just incredible that you brought your own tweens into it to participate. Have they shared any kind of thoughts on this? Was it cathartic for them? Did they really get uplifted through sharing this with the world?
It really helped them to get to cope with our loss, and just kind of like they're following in my footsteps, because the way that I've coped is by saving other people's lives and by spreading the word and starting with our victory clubs. I mean, I could talk for hours of all the things that we've done, because, I mean, it's unfortunate that our daughter died, but because of her death and because of the power that we have, and we've been able to go nationwide, and we're going to save millions of lives, you know. So in a way, she didn't die in vain. But what the twins also in their book, what I just wanted to mention before I forget, they also put like little recipes, like how to make a dog biscuit out of common things you have at home. They have this recipe, how to make edible blue slime. So it's blue slime up with the products that most people have at home, and you can eat it. And just some arts and crafts. So it's kind of like a fun, cute little book. I mean, it's an easy read. You can do it like in a couple hours. And there's some pictures in there and stuff. And also like my daughter, Victoria, who passed away, her wish was that if she ever did die of a drug overdose, was that we publish her diary. Oh, and I had received a text. One of her friends sent me a text from Victoria after Victoria passed away that was supposed to be to me, but she never sent it to me. She sent it to the friend, and Victoria obviously did die of the overdose. So I published her diary, and it's called Victoria's Voice. And it's her actual actual diary, like untouched, uncensored, like in all her pictures, her handwriting, everything's in there. And it's just going inside the mind of a teenager struggling with drug addiction. So I really think that this book can help parents understand that this, what's going through her mind, dealing with growing up, can be happening to their children, peer pressure, not feeling good enough about themselves, think they're too fat, too thin, not pretty enough, or, you know, behind their child's closed door. So I want this to be an eye-opener for parents. And then I also want people who are addicted to drugs to understand that they're not alone, but their thoughts and their, you know, feeling the way that they do. And if they can turn for help versus going after their next high with drugs.
That's everything. That's everything. And I think, you know, you must have been, did you ever have a moment where you were like, oh gosh, I don't know if I can publish this. I don't know if I want to put this out into the world. I mean, it's such a personal thing. And even if she wanted that, did you ever have a moment where you're like, I don't want to do this?
I didn't do it. I didn't want, like, it's my daughter's, the most intimate things, like things I didn't know about her. You know, I feel like when I read her diary and then the text that told me specifically where it was hidden, and none of her friends knew about it. She never told anyone about it. She started it when she was 12 years old. Mm-hmm. I feel that I know my daughter more now that she's not here than when she was alive. And I didn't release the diary for like the 4 years, 4.5 years, because I mean, it's just so intimate and private. You know, I wouldn't want someone posting my diary, but I guess that once I'm dead, it doesn't really matter. But if I didn't carry out her wish, I feel like I wasn't carrying on her legacy. And everyone that gives it to me, they can't put it down. I don't know if there's another book like this out there that's been published from someone who was addicted to drugs and wrote everything in their diary, documented everything, and unfortunately dies in the end of the losing battle with drugs. So I'd like it to be an eye-opener that when they do read it, the author actually died from the drug addiction. I mean, this is a true thing.
Yeah, it's like this should be required reading in every rehab facility, every doctor's office, every psychiatrist's office, just to have it there as a reference.
That's a great idea. You know, I should find out how to do that and just like donate them so they can read it, because it's something that if I was addicted to drugs, I would like to, definitely it would intrigue my interest, you know, because it's not like a book coming from a doctor, you know, like it's not clinical. And telling you to not do drugs. I mean, she's going through, I mean, she even had like a baggie of cocaine taped in there just to show what it looked like, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's very raw. And also after she passed away, well, I know a lot of people, they see in the movie, the documentary, The Queen of Versailles, which is now like being recommended for people in quarantine. That's one of like the top 25 documentaries to watch.
Well, it's so fascinating.
I'm still hanging in there. I don't know how. And so after Victoria died, I did make like a documentary, but I'm not a movie producer, and I used my cell phone for most of it. And I did do a follow-up, which I think you've seen, The Princess of Versailles. I have it on YouTube and it's free, but I think it's really touching too, like, and I look terrible in the movie. So obviously, like, you know, you can tell it's not like a, and it's a real serious movie that I did. And what I want people to come out with it when they watch it is if someone is doing drugs, I want them to realize in the end, if they die of a drug overdose, I mean, they're going to be up in heaven or something. It's the family, friends, your grandma, your grandpa, your mom, dad, sister, brother, cousins, best friend. They suffer for the rest of their lives because of a drug overdose. And the thing is, most of the people that are dying from drug overdoses have no intentions of doing a drug overdose because it's what it is. It's the fentanyl and the carfentanil or whatever chemicals, because they're constantly coming up with other things that the body can't handle the doses. And just 2 days ago, my daughter, who's going to Florida State University, she's now online going to the school classes. She heard that one of her friends at the school passed away 2 days ago. He bought a pill that he thought was Xanax off the street, and it was laced, and he died that night just from a pill that he just wanted to relax. It's that dangerous out there. And that's like kind of the warnings and the messages I want to get across, because for sure, most of these, almost I would say 99.9% of the people that are dying of drug overdoses had no intention of committing suicide.
Absolutely. Even with all of the pain and suffering they were going through, they never wanted to die. It was
They just wanted to escape from their depression, like self-medicating, you know?
Right. Which really is something that we all do. Let's be real about it. Every mom listening to this right now has a glass or two of wine a night to kind of deregulate and to calm down. Imagine if you had something else that could kill you. I mean, it's just, it's unfathomable. But going back to that documentary, The Princess of Versailles was so well done. I can't believe you just said you did it with your cell phone. That's incredible alone. Creative.
My cell phone. And I did have one camera girl. Her name was Cinnamon.
Getting better and better.
So fun. I told her it sounds like a name from a porn star movie. but her sister's name is Spice.
Oh wow! No way.
So my friend Cinnamon, she filmed me on this other show I was on called The Fireball Run, which is also on Amazon. I was on 3 seasons of that, the last 3 seasons. And when our daughter passed away, most of the members of my family, they didn't want to see a camera around. So there's so much stuff that we don't have, but they felt comfortable with her because she had been around before and she had kind of a small camera. So we were able to capture some stuff like kind of professionally. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of it, like at the funeral, like all that stuff was on my nanny's cell phone. You know, just whatever. It's really something. I'm glad you watched it.
No, I couldn't stop. I was just going to watch a little bit in preparation for this interview. And I ended up watching the whole thing because it was so beautiful. It was so real and raw, as you said before. And I couldn't stop noticing how much you changed, I think, throughout that. I mean, you were going to Washington, D.C. to testify in front of a task force, and you end up getting the CARA Act passed, which, for those of you who don't know, it's the Comprehensive Addiction and Recovery Act, signed by Obama in 2016. You were instrumental in getting that passed. I mean, that's incredible. It seems like you have just changed your life and been changed in such a dramatic way. Can you talk to us a little bit about that and how, you know, Victoria's Voice Foundation has really changed you as a person and a woman?
Yeah. It's really enlightened me. In fact, some of the people that haven't seen me since Victoria passed away or since before, they can tell a difference. Like I'm just like a lot stronger now since we've gotten a lot of these things passed. We also, and part of the CARA Act was that we got almost $2 billion from the government allocated for the Narcan to be in every first responders vehicles, all the police officers, fire department, and everything. And for people that don't know what Narcan is, that's like an antidote for an opioid, like heroin, and pills and things like that, painkillers. So it can bring them back to life. They can be like not breathing for a few minutes, and you put it in their nose or an injection, and it brings them back to life and gives them about an hour and a half to get them to the hospital and go through the detoxing and intravenous and all that.
Yeah. So it seems like you have taken like really a comprehensive approach to fighting opioid addiction and overdose. I mean, you've written these beautiful books that you're putting out into the world. That's one way. And now you're actually working on legislation. That's a very powerful way. How much was this pushed by you? How much was it pushed by your husband? Or was it really a team effort?
Well, I think it was, as far as going to Washington, D.C., it was more my husband. The first 3 months when after Victoria passed away, he just educated himself. He didn't know what like a marijuana cigarette looked like. And so he just read about everything, every single drug. And he said, he came to me kind of out of his like little cave after 3 months. And he says, you know, we're going to do something.
Wow.
And so we started the foundation, and we just started meeting with people and finding out ways that we can help. And the thing is, like a lot of people, that they start a foundation in their child's name, but they don't know where to go with the money or anything. So we started on a national level, and we've already raised like several million dollars, and we're helping people, and it makes me feel much better. I mean, my husband was worried about, like, after our daughter passed away, because I mean, I like to drink too, you know. He was afraid that I might like self-medicate my depression and just drink and fall, like go under the covers and mm-hmm. just be depressed the rest of my life. And you got to be strong, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, and no one would blame you, you know, if you kind of just disappeared for a while. No mother would blame you in any sense. I mean, losing a child it has to be one of the hardest things, if not the hardest thing in the world.
And being out there, because I mean, if I go anywhere, well, obviously not this past month, but to any mall or any event, there's always someone that comes up to me that recognizes me from some of the media that I've been in that will say, I'm sorry about your loss. And, or they'll tell me that they've lost a child or they're worried about one of their teenagers or something. So, I mean, this is really affecting everyone. And I like the fact that they know they can come up and talk to me, because I like to give the support. And one thing I've done, I also produce the Mrs. Florida pageant. We host Mrs. America and Mrs. World, and they've taken their platform for our beauty queens is the Victoria's Voice Foundation. So we have kind of, ambassadors preventing drug abuse in every single state and in countries around the world. We have representatives through Mrs. World. So, I mean, we're really doing everything that we can to get the word out about how dangerous it is with these laced drugs and stuff.
Yeah. And so talk to us a little bit about the mission of Victoria's Voice Foundation. You know, it's against, opioid addiction and overdose, but what at the core, what is its mission? Who do you want to serve and how can people get involved?
Okay. Well, the thing is, when we first started the Victoria's Voice, I mean, we weren't expecting to even, we didn't know our daughter was going to die. So we started the foundation. We had no idea what to do with the foundation. I mean, people were donating money and stuff, and it's kind of evolving. Okay. So, I mean, we do help people going to the rehabs and stuff. We thought about starting a rehab, and I don't know. It just, that wasn't the right path for us. So we would prefer to refer the people to rehabs that have a success rate and been around. Then we did the CARA Act, which we got Narcan across the country in every single like vehicle, first responders in America. So that was a big challenge, and we did it. It's like, okay, now what? So my husband, he's a go-getter. Now we got to find another thing to do. So now we're starting the Victory Clubs. Okay, so do you want me to get into that a little bit?
Absolutely. I love it. Yeah.
Okay, so the Victory Clubs, what it is, and we're going to start with a few schools here in Orlando and a few schools in Nevada, in Las Vegas, because we also have a big presence in Las Vegas. So we're kind of like bi-coastal. And so what it is the kids take a pledge that they won't do drugs, to be a member of the Victory Clubs. And the only thing that they have to agree to is to random drug testing. Okay. And if they do that, they, there's incentives, like we're getting them, they get free concert tickets, where we're talking like with Subway, that they get free subs, or, you know, buy one, get one free, a movie theater, maybe we'll get them discount on movie theater tickets and popcorn. And at school, for the high schoolers, they'll get the front row parking, or the front three rows.
Every high schooler wants that.
Oh my God. And what we're doing also, we're talking with the principals. I mean, so this is like an ongoing process. It's a lot of phone calls to put together, you know. So they'll be able to get off school 5 minutes early before the huge traffic line. So there's so many things that we're putting together. But we're talking with the car insurance companies. Any of the teenagers that drive, and we're still working on that deal right now, to give them a discount, a couple $100 a month. Like if their insurance is $500 a month, maybe they can get it down to like $200 a month. Wow. For car insurance. So just that alone, the parents will want the children to be a part of this Victory Club program.
Yeah.
And I think it's like a peace of mind for the parents. And, but the thing is, like, the kids, like if they fail the testing, the school will never know.
Oh, wow.
So we just sent, a counselor or a call, you know, to the parents to let them know, and the teenager, and help them if they need counseling or why they did it. Is it one time thing? And then they get another chance, and, you know, and then by the third time, you know, they probably need to be in rehab.
That's so incredible. You know, so many parents who lose their children, you know, they want to do something, they don't know where to start. I can't get over how creative and how driven and how focused both you and your husband have been over these years. It's so admirable, and I'm just so in awe. Do you feel like Victoria is with you during these phone calls, during these meetings, during these idea sessions?
Well, you know, I have a feeling that she's probably looking out for us, because even like, we wanted to get like, you know, free tickets and backstage passes. And it's like, oh, we wish we could meet like Live Nation and get with them. And all of a sudden, like the vice president of Live Nation, I heard I was in Vegas and wanted to have dinner with me. It's like, and it's like, holy cow, you know, where'd this come from? You know, so it's like things like that, that everything's like, we're just meeting the right people and everything's just falling into place. And we're working on launching, we've got someone working on our own channel for drug addiction. So that's something like down the line, like next year, that we can talk about, you know?
Wow, that's so exciting. We'll definitely have to have you back on to talk about that. Do you, you know, we've covered so much. Do you have just a big takeaway that you want to leave the audience with, you know, something to remember you by, your work by, Victoria by? What's something that you want them to walk away with from this talk?
I just want everyone to know that you got to be strong for any parent. And we're talking to a lot of mothers here. Get to know your child. Me and my husband thought we knew our daughter, and we really didn't. Look for the signs, like if they're getting too tired or locking themselves in their rooms, or they get irritable. I mean, that's a definite warning, and really take the time and be your child's best friend is what's most important. You know, don't let them be afraid of you to open up.
I love that. That's beautiful. And it's hard, you know, I mean, every parent is like, okay, it's a daily process, but I mean, the work that you're doing is just, it's uplifting all of us truly. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So I do have some rapid fire questions to round us out. Okay. If you're ready.
Yeah.
The Queen of Versailles is?
The Queen of Versailles is not who you think she is. She's actually a normal person. You know?
I don't know right now. Okay. I'm grateful for.
I am grateful for actually for the fame of Versailles, because that gives me the opportunity that it's like a tool to spread the word of trying to keep teenagers and offer drugs.
And what's something that you've learned in life that you wish someone would have told you earlier on?
I guess just this is not a dress rehearsal. It's the real thing, and you only get one chance in life. Ooh. And just go with your heart and be positive and be nice to people. Treat other people the way you want to be treated.
It's beautiful. Oh, thank you so much, Jackie. How can people check out the documentaries, buy the books, find you online? Give us all the things.
Okay, well, everything is The Real Queen of Versailles. That's Facebook, Instagram, and my YouTube channel.
Yeah, and I can't recommend The Princess of Versailles enough. I mean, I want to watch it again. It was just so well done interesting.
Did you almost cry in the end?
No, I did. I did. The part that got me the most was when you helped out that young girl and you were like, I can't help everyone, but I can help this one person and her family. And I looked at the baby and I was a mess after that. I was done.
Aww.
Beautiful. You're an angel. You really are.
Thank you. You too.
You have been listening to the Motherhood Unstressed podcast, and I'm your host, Liz Carlisle. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you love this episode, please share it out with a friend or on social media. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. You just have to hit those 5 stars. You don't even have to write anything. And as always, make sure that you're subscribed so that you never miss a guided meditation every Wednesday or every Monday, an interview with an amazing guest doing amazing work in the world. Thanks.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.